chapter 4. Value the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. At my last church, Kevin was a young adult who had great leadership potential. I was constantly on the lookout for new leaders when he first caught my attention. Other young adults looked to him for leadership. I asked him to be a Sunday school teacher, but he didn't see himself as a teacher. Instead, he became a class coordinator. The class began to grow and we started a new class and then another. Now we needed even more leaders. I asked him to be a large group coordinator. Don't tell Kevin, but I was asking him to be a department director. I told him his two greatest tasks were to enlist and train new leaders and start new classes and ministries. He was phenomenal. One day I mentioned that he might need to train someone to do his job so I could give him another one. A few months later, he came to me and said, "I did it." In a Baptist church, that could mean a lot of things, and most of them are not good. When I asked him what he had done, he told me he had trained someone else to do his job and wanted to know what I wanted him to do now. Honestly, I had forgotten, and I didn't have anything else for him to do. I quickly asked Kevin to be my division director, challenging him to do the same thing he had done with his class with all of our young adult classes. At the time, we had grown to 3 Sunday school hours and about 8 or 9 young adult classes. He later trained someone else to do that job, and he went on to work in the youth ministry. I pray there are lots of Kevins in your church. All people have a gift, ability, or talent, uniqueness, etc., that God can use to further accomplish the ministry of your church. People will take on positions of responsibility. The problem is, we are not very good at enlisting, training, and assisting leaders in our churches. When people are asked why they are not serving, they give lots of responses, but here are the top 3 answers. Number 1 is, nobody asked me. Number 2 is, I didn't know how or don't feel comfortable doing it. This includes those who point you to someone else who could do it better. Number 3 is, I have served my time and I'm just burned out. All 3 of these things relate to poor enlisting, training, and assisting. Everyone who is a born-again believer and a member of your church is a potential servant leader. The Bible is clear. Everyone has a gift. Peter reminded his readers that based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. That's 1 Peter 4:10. With that settled, let's talk about how all of these gifts are designed to work together. Read Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you will see a theme, one body. We are all members of one body. Many members and lots of parts, but one body. I don't know if I'm the tip of the toenail on the left big toe, but I'm a part of the body of Christ. As the toenail, I'm so important that if I hurt, it impacts the whole body. God has so intricately woven us together as a body that we are dependent upon one another. So much so that when one person hurts, we all hurt. If one person suffers, we all suffer. If one person doesn't do their part, the whole church suffers. While speaking at Sunday School Week at Glorieta Conference Center, Ed Stetzer declared that one of the greatest sins of the church today is not that 20% do 80% of the work in the church, but that 80% of the people do little or nothing. How do we engage every member to be a part of the mission of the church? Where are you leading them? Take some time to write in the margin of this page the purpose and mission statement of your church. If you as a Sunday school leader don't know where you're headed, it is hard to lead others to follow you. What is your church trying to accomplish? How does your class fit into that purpose? If I could at least give you some thoughts to begin to articulate your vision for your class, I would tell you these things. Give them something that is bigger than themselves. Tell them that in order to accomplish it, you will need others involved to help you, so that we can accomplish things for God that we never thought possible. I recently did a Minister of Education interim at Summer Grove Baptist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. Senior Pastor Rod Masteller has a great vision for his church. The statement reads, "We exist to glorify Jesus Christ by loving God, loving others, and making disciples one home at a time." It is so clear and compelling. The best part, the vision is so simple, every member could pull out a napkin and draw the vision and purpose of the church. If your vision is clear, simple, and articulate, people can follow it. If you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, people can't follow you. William Carey once said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." If my church has a vision to attempt great things for God and expects great things from God, I'm going to follow that. People want to be a part of something like that. They may not join right away, but once the momentum starts, people can't stay away. Dr. Waylon Bailey, senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Covington, calls it the Big Mo. He proposes that once you get it, do everything you can to keep it going. Your task is to make disciples. You hope and pray that those you're discipling will one day become disciple makers themselves. Jesus started with 12. One of those failed. Yet those other 11 turned the world upside down. This is God's plan. There is no plan B. Our task is to disciple others that we pray will one day become disciple makers themselves. What is your gift? I have the spiritual gift of encouragement. I have other gifts, but this is the primary gift many people have affirmed in my life. I hope and pray that God uses me to encourage you in your journey of service and ministry for the kingdom of God. God has found lots of ways to use me to encourage people in various ways. I am sure God has lots of ways He has yet to use me in the gift He has given me. But my gift is not for me. It is for the church. It is for the body of Christ. I am a member, a part of the body of Christ. What is your part? What is your gift? There are lots of tools that can help you identify your gift. You can find some free online tools at www.lifeway.com/spiritual-gifts. You need to take some time to discover your giftedness. But there is so much more to your service and ministry than just your gift. God uses all of us differently. You may share a common gift with lots of people in your church, and yet God chooses to use each of us differently. Our personalities play a role in this. The life experiences God has allowed in your life has prepared you for future service and ministry for His kingdom as well. Your vocational skills can be used for the service to God. God also gives us a passion for ministry or a target group. There is much to understand about yourself in order to become the person God intended you to be. We don't have to know everything about ourselves to make a difference. Much of what I learned about myself happened after I volunteered for the first time. It starts with your willingness, and then God will take it from there. Will you serve? I told you I was raised Catholic. When I encountered the Baptist Church, to be honest, I thought everyone was nuts. Nothing made sense to me. The one uniqueness that struck me was a term I later understood as the priesthood of the believer. Not only did I discover that I could have a personal relationship with Christ, but I also discovered that I was uniquely created to serve and worship God. After I joined and was baptized, I did what people told me to do. When someone told me to join a Sunday school class, I did. When someone told me about tithing, I did it. When someone asked me to work with boys and role ambassadors, I did it. Role ambassadors is a mission program for elementary age boys. I didn't know better. I thought that was what I was supposed to do. Over time, I began to realize that I was expected to play a role in the ministry of that church. My task was not to find a spot and squat and sit and soak. I was supposed to serve. I have since realized that the best time to recruit someone as a servant leader is soon after they join. They don't know any better. 2 years after joining the church, I was asked to serve as a part-time summer youth director. I said yes because I didn't know better. Fortunately, Chris Elkins, my college Sunday school teacher, was also my minister of education and supervised my position. Fortunately, he knew a few things that I didn't. In spite of my ignorance, inexperience, and immaturity, why would they choose to give me opportunities that carried great ministry responsibility? Why did they ask me to teach RAs? Why did they ask me to teach the youth? Why did they hire me as their summer youth director? I'll tell you why. They saw something in me that they believed was worth the risk. They saw potential. Someone saw that same potential in you. Are you able to see that in others? Are you willing to take a risk like those who took a risk in enlisting, equipping, and empowering you for ministry? We are all gifted. We are all called. Allow God to use you to help others realize their potential. Take some time to think about the people in your class. In whom do you see the potential for ministry and service for God's kingdom? What is your strategy for involving as many people as possible in service and ministry for the glory of God? I have two daughters. God didn't bless my wife and me with two wonderful children to serve us or to please us. He gave them to us so that we could prepare them to be used by God for His great glory in their own unique way. My oldest is in college now. I miss her. But she is smart, capable, and loves God. She will do fine. My youngest will soon follow her sister's path. God knows what He is doing, and He will use them mightily. God has given you the privilege of leading a Sunday school class or small group for the purpose of preparing them for ministry beyond your class. They are not meant to stay. We would love for them to stop by and visit, but we are preparing them for something more. Let them go and send them out.